face. Muttering curses, of which her minister father wouldn't have approved, the physician grabbed some more rags from the pile and started stuffing the openings closed. Dean rushed to assist, and working at opposite ends of the craft, they got the larger holes sealed. That helped, but not much. Wisps still seeped into the vehicle around the doors and hatches. Mildred splashed more water on the rags to keep them wet.
Get moving! We have to get out of this or risk suffocation!
I'm worried about that. Ryan placed a palm on the hole. The metal was still cool to the touch.
It's the external fuel cans. Those flames get too close and we ignite like a bomb.
Drop them.
JB snatched another duffel bag from the loose items on the floor. Yanking open the top, he began tossing in food packs and spare ammo in case they were forced to abandon the LAV to run for their lives. We might be mistaken. The engine sounded bad and seemed to be getting worse by the second. Ryan forced his attention away from the struggling engines.
Can't lose the fuel. We're going to need every drop to reach the next Shiloh. We're low as it is. Worst comes, we can always cut the cans loose.
Might have to.
As she peered out the broken op-port, smoke stung her eyes and made them water.
The fire is keeping us from the road, and I can't see a thing through this bastard corn. Gone wild, this stuff could stretch for miles. Which direction do we go, north or south?
Doc, you're the tallest. Get into that turret and guide us.
With the greatest pleasure.
As the old man holstered his blaster and clambered into the turret, JB passed up his Navy telescope. Forcing back the top hatch, Doc tied a handkerchief to his mouth as protection from the thickening smoke, then extended the antique instrument to its full length. Doc studied the golden field.
Forest to the right, ocean to the left. The corn goes for another mile, and then seems to abruptly stop. There might be a dip in the ground.
Or another cliff.
Christie worked the clutch and throttle, trying to smooth out the engine vibrations. Bending at the knees, Doc stooped back inside and dogged the hatch shut.
Indeed, madam. Our choices are exceedingly poor.
The fire is closer. I can see flames over the top of the corn stalks.
In spurts, the LAV struggled to roll through the ancient farmland, the dry plants bending slowly out of their way, then rising intact again as the APC crept along. Studying the motion of the billowing smoke, Ryan made his decision.
The wind is from the sea, going toward the cliff. Head for the trees.
Her prehensile hair coiled protectively against her scalp. Christie stomped on the gas pedal.
Do my best.
She mentally sent a prayer to Gaia to aid them once more this day. Behind them, thick plumes of black smoke masked the horizon, wild tongues of orange flame rising to fill the sky with hellish illumination as the rapidly growing inferno raged completely out of control. Wiping at the dirty windshield with his hand, Stephen stared at the blockhouse ahead of the caravan and frowned in displeasure. In a squeal of metal on metal, he ground the rickety old van to a halt. In slow procession, the two trucks behind the rusty wag also stopped, the drivers fumbling with the unfamiliar brakes and gear shifts. Chewing a lip, Stephen rested his arms on top of the steering wheel. Straight ahead was a fork in the road, the left branch going to some nameless pestholeville, the right heading directly toward Front Royal. Strategically positioned between the branches was a stout blockhouse made of whole logs cemented together into a formidable structure. Blaster slots were notched into the thick walls, the only door fronted by a half-circle of sandbags a full yard high. A dozen SEC men, armed with blasters, stood behind the sandbags, watching him sitting in the lead wag, but that wasn't what made Stephen so apprehensive. It was their clothes. They were wearing the wrong clothes. Setting the parking brake with a yank, Stephen stared at the leader of the SEC men as he came closer. The rest of the troopers stayed where they were, their long blasters held casually, but with their fingers on the triggers. They weren't expecting any trouble, just ready for it. From previous trips, Stephen knew there were more SEC men hidden in the trees to give additional support should the need arise. This fork was a major approach to the ville and was always well defended. It was the shirts that bothered him. The material was brown, not the blue of Overton's private army. What had happened in Front Royal during his absence? As the sergeant stopped well away from the van, Stephen rolled down the window and managed to smile, politely keeping both of his hands in plain sight. He had a revolver at his hip, and a shotgun was clipped to the ceiling. But the slightest move toward either of those weapons would probably be the last thing he ever did. The sec man greeted him.
Hey.
Stephen nodded.
Good morning, sir. How much?
Hooking thumbs into his gun belt, the sergeant snorted a laugh.
That's all done with. No more tolls on this road by order of Baron Calder.
Something was wrong here. Stephen knew it and took a chance.
Calder? I thought the Baron here was named Overton.
A sneer replaced the smile.
He's dead. Got killed by his own troops. Nathan Calder's the rightful Baron here.
Dead? So the invasion failed. Sweat broke out over Stephen's body as he smiled at the news.
Great. I heard Overton was a real son of a bitch.
Pretty bad. All three of these wags belong to you?
Yeah, we caravaned through the hills together. Safer that way, you know, muties and cold hearts.
The smile returned, but not with much warmth.
I hear you. Much trouble in the passes?
No. Few stickies, nothing more. We travel at night when it's too cold for anybody to try jacking us.
I'm pretty smart.
The smile stayed, but the eyes became hard.
What's the cargo?
Stephen started to say wire, but stopped himself. For some reason, Overton had wanted insulated cable from pre-dark buildings, and lots of it. Who knew why? Maybe he wanted to electrify all of Front Royal. Yeah, right. Few vills were able to sustain a constant supply of electricity. Most folks considered it a myth. And there was no chance that Nathan would want the cable for the same purpose as Overton. But what else could copper wiring be used for? An answer was needed immediately, and Stephen surprised himself by dredging up a vague memory of a phrase he had heard somewhere.
Refined metal. For making jacketed bullets.
The sec man looked properly impressed.
Plus a few passengers.
Mm-hmm. Muties?
Norms, I assure you.
Narrowing his eyes, the sergeant seemed skeptical.
How many?
10.
Any skilled workers, carpenters, masons?
Hell, I have no idea. You'd have to ask them.
Maybe I will. Any jolt or weed?
I don't traffic in drugs. Sir.
You saved yourself a hanging there, friend. You must have been here before.
The words were so matter-of-fact, Stephen almost admitted the truth. Only a lifelong habit of lying stopped him. So, the sec men were looking for folks who dealt with Overton, eh? That news could be worth something to a smart man.
Nope. Last owner sold me his wags for some pre-dark medicine I found in a ruin. He had the bleeding cough and was dying.
A minute passed, with the sergeant studying the expression on Stephen's face.
It was a fair trade. He lived.
The sec man made no reply. Stephen knew this was another test to rattle his nerves, so he tried to appear frightened, which was easy, and slightly confused. Innocent folks always seem to be confused.
Nothing else?
The guards at the blockhouse were watching the exchange, their blasters pointing toward the caravan. From a truck behind him, Stephen heard one of the other drivers nervously cough, the noise unnaturally loud in the tense silence.
Okay, okay. I'm also hauling shine.
Stephen ever so slowly lifted a clay jug into view. There was a cross of tape on the side, patching a small crack.
Good stuff. Mighty smooth.
Nothing wrong with hauling shine.
A hand went to the checkered grip of the blaster on his hip.
If it's clean. An outlander sold some to us once. It killed two of my men and made another go blind. Took us a week to find him again. Then it took a week for him to die.
Wordlessly, Stephen uncorked the jug and took a long pull. The homebrew whiskey burned his gullet like flaming battery acid, but he managed not to gag.
Have a sip. Good for what ails you.
Grinning, the sergeant started to reach for the container, then glanced at the blockhouse.
Thanks anyway, but it's not allowed. The Baron forbids drinking on duty.
Wise policy. Smart man.
Well, that he is.
The sergeant turned toward the cabin and tugged on an earlobe, then dusted off his shoulder. The guards relaxed and slung their blasters. A few started smoking hand-rolled cigs.
Okay, here are the rules. There ain't no jolt or slaves in Front Royal. Anybody says different is lying. Stealing gets you whipped, rape gets you hanged. Stay on the road. There are landmines in the fields. Watch out for cougars. We've had some killings at the farms. You spot anybody wearing a blue shirt,